Scripture lesson today is slightly different from what you find in the bulletin because there are not 23 verses in the second chapter of Ephesians as announced. But we will be beginning at verse 8, the second chapter of Ephesians, and we'll read through the 22 verses that are there. And here is the Word of God. We have been considering some of the truths of the second chapter of Ephesians for several weeks now. And so we are going to look at that second chapter again, beginning in verse 8, one of the most familiar verses in all the Bible. Here is what God says in His Word: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinance, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And may God bless to our minds this incredible passage of Scripture, that we may understand it and rejoice in it. To that end, will you pray for me that I will be faithful, and I'll pray for you that you will hear, and that we will all become doers of the Word of God. Let's pray for each other. Heavenly Father, we do pray that your Spirit will speak through the one who is commissioned to speak, and that you will speak not only to the ears, but to the hearts of your people, reminding us how blessed we are and how grateful we should be because of your blessings to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a teenager, and that's been several years ago, a missionary came back from China who had been driven out by the Japanese at the beginning of World War II and our involvement in it. And he came home. He was a missionary doctor, and he became very active in Presbyterian circles, and not only in setting up his practice in Asheville, North Carolina, but spending a lot of time speaking in missions conferences, helping us to see that the work in China was not over, that many Christians had been murdered by the Japanese and by the Chinese communists, and that they were having a hard time. But he told this story at one of the mission conferences that I went to, and I will never forget it. He said he was called on by some of his fellow Christians to go and find a lady who lived in a cardboard box, who was apparently very ill and apparently dying. Dr. Bell finally found her in an alleyway living in this cardboard box that was falling to pieces because it had rained on her so many times. And he was overwhelmed with sympathy for her. And he read her passages from the Bible, and he talked with her and tried to encourage her. And she finally said, broke in and said in her pidgin English, or maybe his pidgin Chinese, "Dr. Bell, don't worry about me. I have everything because I have Jesus." Here was this woman living in a rain-soaked cardboard box, starving to death, rejected by her family because she had become a Christian, and without a hope of getting any better. In fact, her last words to Dr. Bell were her last words spoken in this world. "Don't worry about me. I have everything because I have Jesus." That was her, not only her last words, that was her last will and testimony to the Church of Jesus Christ in China. Well, many years later, there was a young missionary that I'd had the privilege of going through seminary with, and I was his roommate until my last year, and I told him that I was getting married, and he said, "Well, you can't bring her in this room." And I said, I hadn't really planned to. Those of you who know Jimmy Moss know that he was liable to say most anything. But Jimmy told a story about his mission time in Brazil that was so similar to Dr. Bell's story. But Jimmy had a congregation in the interior of Brazil that he had won most of them to Christ. He was incredible. Within 6 weeks after arriving in Brazil, he was preaching in Portuguese. That's how quickly, and it was truly a gift of tongues from the Holy Spirit that enabled him to preach. But he was preaching in one of the interior villages, and there was a man there who was one of the elders, and he was young, and he had a young family, but he got cancer. As a matter of fact, he got the worst kind of cancer, and there was no medical facilities and no possibility of getting him to a hospital because they were hundreds of miles in the interior. But this young man had several young children, a young wife as well, and he was a godly leader in this congregation. And toward the end, when he found out that there was no hope for him and that he was going to die, and was going to die in agony, you know what his medicine was? He was able to take 2 aspirin a day because that's all they had. And here this man was suffering the agony of bone cancer. And Jim was holding his hand as he was dying, and Jim wept with him. You know how emotional Jim could get. And he said, "Dear brother, please, how can you possibly stand the pain that with only 2 aspirin a day?" And he again responded, "Jim, I have everything I need. I have Jesus, and he's right here with me." And so he died in the presence of Jim and in the presence of Jesus. Well, it is sad to think that most believers in this country and around the world could not say, "I have everything because I have Jesus." We want so much more. We want good health, as we should. We want good jobs. We want luxury. We want all of the privileges that wealth brings. So very few people would be able to say, "Because I have Jesus, I have everything I need." Well, the Apostle Paul had been talking about and writing about the incredible gift of grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And he reminded us of our desperate need, because he told us we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were slaves of Satan, and Christ has set us free. And then he went on to talk about the mercy and the grace and the power of God that has made us alive again in Christ Jesus. And he went on to say, and this we overlook usually when we're dealing with this chapter, he went on to say that we have been saved for the purpose of good works, to glorify God by acting like and thinking like and being like Jesus, his only begotten Son, because we have been adopted, and then God sent his Spirit into our hearts to cause us to be born again. So we're twice born people. Not only have we been adopted into the family of God, and that's a beautiful illustration of what God has done for us. When Christian parents search out little ones to adopt and bring them into the covenant of grace, then that is such a beautiful example of what God has done for us, because we were strangers, we were aliens, and we were illegal aliens pretending to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so in this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about three of the incredible things that God has done by grace and by the blood of Christ. And at this point, he was primarily speaking to Gentiles who had no background of faith and no knowledge of God, and they were truly outsiders. They were illegal aliens in the minds of the Jewish people, because they were pretending that they were children of Abraham too. So Paul assured them that they were not illegal aliens, that they were truly twice-born Christians. And they were not outsiders, they were insiders now. And we have to remember that when people come that we don't know into our church, they must be made to feel like they're insiders. That, why haven't I discovered this church before? I have experienced love and acceptance. And that's hard to do when everybody is kin to everybody. And you've been here, many of you have been here all of your lives. You were born to believing parents in this church. But at the same time, because of that, that God will use us to bring not only to Christ, but into the fellowship of believers, those who profess him. Because there were illustrations of this from the Old Testament. You probably are familiar with the story of Rahab. Rahab the what? Rahab the harlot, who hid the spies that Joshua had sent in to spy out the land, so the invading army would know where the troops were and where the weaknesses were and where the strength was. But this woman, Rahab the harlot, hid those spies from capture and captivity and death. And she professed to believe that God, their God, had given the land to the Israelites. And because of that, her life was spared. The life of her parents and brothers and sisters were spared by the hanging of the scarlet cord out the window. And the scarlet cord not only represented identifying people who were helpers to the Israelites, but people who were in the covenant and had been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so guess what? Rahab was spared, and she later married into the Israelite family, and she became, as incredible as it sounds, one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world. And this woman who had fallen from grace and fallen from purity and all of these things But when she turned to God, God forgave her sins, and God included her, and she would now became an insider. And she also was the ancestor of a girl named Ruth, because Ruth came from the land of Moab, and she followed her mother-in-law and became a believer in God. And so Ruth was also included because she married one of the descendants of Rahab the harlot. And so she also became a direct ancestor of Jesus Christ because she was the great-grandmother of King David. So you see how God is reaching out, and through us, he can bring people into the kingdom that were lost, that had no claim on the grace of God, but because of your faithfulness and because of your love for them, they are included. And the outsiders have become insiders. And let's make sure that that continues to happen. And that the testimony of those who have been outsiders will be, now I'm an insider because of the love of Christ and because of the love of his people at New Harmony Presbyterian Church. I am no longer an illegal alien. I am no longer an outsider. They have, by God's grace, received me into the fellowship and into the reality of the unity of believers. But that's not all. Christ has made peace for us with the Father, because we were at war. We were rebels, and we were rebelling against God and God's will and God's work. But Christ has become our peacemaker. It's not just that he has brought us near to God, which he has done, but he has established a relationship in himself that God and man can come together, because he was sent by the Father into the world to seek and save that which was lost. And so the Lord Jesus Christ ended the warfare of rebellion against God. And really, he ended the hostility between believers. He's our peace offering. And there was in the Old Covenant various offerings that were made to God and sacrifices, and one of them was a peace offering that established that God had forgiven us and that God had declared peace. But God has done that through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing when Christians break out of their comfort zone and begin to bear witness to their neighbors. I experienced something of the glory of this when I was in Jackson, Mississippi, teaching in seminary and serving in the Trinity Presbyterian Church. And the neighborhood began to change, and people were coming in, people from different kinds of backgrounds, because at that subdivision had been sort of reserved for the elite. And the Trinity Church was established as an outgrowth of First Presbyterian Church. And they called themselves First Presbyterian Church on Northside Drive. That's how they thought of themselves. But that neighborhood began to change radically. And there was truly a white flight that went out in the northern part of the county. And the congregation looked at that. And then they had a congregational meeting. Will we follow the white flight or not? And overwhelmingly, by a vote of 95-0, and the other five just weren't there that Sunday, but unanimously, this elite congregation, or thought of themselves as the elite, voted to stay in this transitional neighborhood and win people to Christ. And not knowing how to do that, they made a covenant with one of the Black Baptist churches in the area. And it was a glorious thing to watch God tear down the walls and truly expand the kingdom through Trinity Presbyterian Church. Later on, there were differences and that hindered them. But that little remnant that decided, yes, we're going to stay in this neighborhood and witness for Christ, were 100 people, 105 people by count. Today, they have a congregation of over 800 people because they are inclusive. They're reaching out no matter what your background, what your race is, what your nationality is. They have reached out into the community, and they now have a much bigger plant than they had before, and they have an ongoing program of Christian love and into the homes of people. And God has done a remarkable thing. He has broken down the wall of separation, and He has given them a joy that you wouldn't believe, and has created an assembly of people that no matter what their background is, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then not only are we told these things, that Christ has become our peace offering, and we have made, not only He has made peace with God, but His people have made peace with each other. But here we have Christ is also the cornerstone. These last few verses of this passage in verses 19 through 22, we find this final illustration that Jesus Christ is our all in all. We have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. We have broken down the division between Jew and Gentile and whatever form that might take. And God has broken it down. And certainly this implies that God has built a spiritual temple, not a temple made with stones, not a temple made with gold and silver, but a temple made with living stones. Simon Peter also talks about this, that we have each one our living stones in the new temple. And people talk about how the temple in Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt, and well, if they rebuild it, it'll burn down because everything in this world will burn up. But the spiritual temple, that is people coming together with a common purpose to make Christ known throughout the world, that's the spiritual temple. It will never pass away, and it will grow and grow and grow. And so we belong to a spiritual household and a spiritual family, and we live in a spiritual temple, the presence of God. So that's what we have because we're believers in Jesus Christ. We've been brought near, and the enmity has been done away with, and the warfare that we have with God, has we have surrendered by the blood of Christ, and Christ has brought us near, not only to God, but to each other. And Christ has assured us that our existence in the presence of God will last forever and ever and ever. And I know you feel more close to God sometimes when you're in this congregation of God's people. And you should, because God was involved in the decision to build this building. And God's intention in allowing you to build this was for this this congregation to become a moving, powerful force in this neighborhood. So we have the opportunity, we have the orders, and we have the power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gifts of grace that are ours. And we thank You that You have saved us by grace unto good works. And help us to fulfill our calling. and help us to experience the wonder and the glory of the oneness in Christ Jesus. And we pray for blessing on this congregation as we approach our mission conference, and that a new spirit of zeal and a commitment to the King and the kingdom may invade us all, and that we may walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who went about Galilee doing good things for lost people and bringing them to know God. So we pray for this congregation that you will do everything that you have promised to do in your word, and we'll claim all of those promises. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.